Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're back. Pomp and Joe rolls on until 2 o'clock here, and then the PM team takes over, and I'm sure they'll have a full plate of trade issues because that's the theme of the day. Austin, we started with just potential, you know, kind of, okay, hypothetical situations, and now all of a sudden one fell out of the air, and that is Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland, demands a trade, or at least requests a trade. It hasn't become a demand yet. It may become a demand, and it may lead to a very interesting offseason. Cleveland, for their part, says they're not interested in talking about any trades for Myles Garrett, which I think is a negotiating ploy. Do you?
Yeah, I do, and I feel like the statement that Garrett put out there, too, like, it reads as a demand, Bob. Like, it might not say a demand, but it sure reads that way in the tone of the phrasing of his verbiage. But Cleveland is going to do everything possible to try to make some people think that he's not available, drive up the price, and try to acquire something more than if it's open season
right. And
everybody just puts out their highest bid. You say he's not available, that might let one team, like, you know, get an extra itch to want to trade for him
sure. Because
they want what they can't have.
They're doing the opposite of what Dallas did with Luka Doncic in their effort to get rid of him. They just called a team and said, here, take him, we'll take this, and move on. And they, I think, hurt themselves in the long run on that. We'll see how it goes. But you don't give away generational players just like that. By the way, the NHL trade deadline is March the 7th. There's going to be a two-week break here because of the Four Nations. And that tournament will take over, and a lot of guys are going to have 2 weeks to just sit around and do nothing. And I don't know if that's good or bad for teams. If you're a winning team, Joe, and you get 2 weeks off in the NHL break, is that good for you? Or would you
Are you trying to steal my radio show, Bob? No, did you guys go on the air this early?
All I know is that you weren't here and there were two blank boxes here. I had to fill one of them.
But I mean, talking about you in the hallway with somebody. We got on the subject of Paul Blart Mall Cop. But that's beside the point. What are you guys talking about?
Just trades and the fact that the NHL teams, all these teams that are playing real well right now, do you want 2 weeks off in the middle of this?
Bob, this whole Four Nations thing has you flummoxed. I'm looking forward to it. No, I don't care about it.
I didn't say I wasn't looking forward to it. What I'm saying is it doesn't help. My whole thing on this, it doesn't help NHL teams. You know, and the players want this fine. The elite players love to play with elite players.
Yeah.
I get it. And
I'm looking forward to seeing.
But what benefit does it have for your team?
Probably none. You get out of rhythm, but I don't care about that. Why do I care what happens with the Ottawa Senators? I don't care.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about teams that really are playing well and
want
to continue to play well.
Like?
Like, for example, Edmonton.
I don't care about
them. I'm just saying. I don't know. I was looking for something to talk about since you weren't here. Now, you wanted to talk about Pittsburgh related trades.
Yes, we are talking
about
Pittsburgh
related trades. All right, well, here we go. Pittsburgh related trades, some of the biggest ones.
And we're going back to a Ron Cook column. Are you ready for this, Bob?
Yes.
Do you remember Ron?
How could you forget Ron?
Do you miss him?
He's a new man, though.
I still can't believe that he left. I can't believe it, Bob.
You were going to bet he would go all the way to the
so
end.
So would you have. You would have bet that,
probably.
Right?
Probably. But I mean,
Ron in Cook's Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Palsy. You know what they say. You can't make the club in the top, Bob.
Poor Palsy on that day, huh? Ron in Cook's Forest, Bob. How do you take that call?
I'm suspicious of everything now.
I know. Come on. All right, here's Ron's story. This was inspired by the Carlson deal. The top 10 trades in Pittsburgh sports history. You ready, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Recollections, memories, anything. I disagree with Ron right off the top. He doesn't have the James Neal for Patrick Hornquist trade, and I'm sorry.
Is this just Penguin related?
No, this is all Pittsburgh history.
Well, that was a big one, no question.
It was bigger than Joey Mullen from the Flames. Joey Mullen was a really good player. Patrick Hornquist changed a culture here with what he brought here.
Because of his net front presence.
And everything else, yes.
Yeah, and so they won two cups. He had a big part of it. They just had a bobblehead.
So Ron's column is wrong before it ever starts. But here we go. Number 10, biggest trades in Pittsburgh sports history. Best, he said. And he's not including, and I agree with him here, like draft day trades for Polamalu. That's different.
You mean
right,
moving
Bob?
Up in the draft?
Yeah,
yeah,
that kind
different.
Of stuff.
I agree. You're talking about player for player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big trades. Joey Mullen from the Flames on draft day in 1990. What do you remember, Bob? Anything?
I remember what a sniper he was, and he completed a puzzle that was in need of him.
Yes.
You know, but beyond that, that does not resonate with me as one of the top 10 trades in Pittsburgh history.
Me neither.
A big one, but
I think Ron made a horrible mistake there. Larry Murphy and tags from the North Stars for Chris Dahlquist and Jim Johnson. That is an incredible trade that might not get talked about enough. I mean, Larry Murphy is a Hall of Famer who was great here.
Not the Murphy dump.
The Murphy dump,
as opposed to the Najee Davenport dump.
And then he's got... Then he's got Kevin Stevens. And then number 7. A lot of these are hockey trades, aren't they, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Rick Tocchet and Shel Samuelson and Kenny Reggett from the Flyers at the 1992 trade deadline.
That was huge.
And they had to give up Recky to make that happen.
Yeah, that's hard to give up a guy like that, Hall of Famer, but they did what they had to do.
That's when you had a team that was in it to win it every year and put... And same with Rutherford, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of Jim Rutherford was getting ripped in some circles around here for getting fleeced by Kyle Dubas in that deal the other day. Like, how could he have given up this and this and then threw, you know, the pick he got for the Rangers first round pick?
First of all, is it Rutherford or is it Patrick Alvin who's doing this?
It's Rutherford. Come on.
You're convinced of that.
Yeah. But all right, let's just say for argument's sake, it is Rutherford if you think that's right. The case. I loved the way Jim Rutherford did business here. My problem with Jim Rutherford was blatantly quitting on his team. And he was the hockey version of Antonio Brown. He quit on his team. But the work he did when he was here, I loved it. All he did was swing for the fences and try and win cups.
And if he made a mistake, he would redo it. He'd say, okay, I screwed that up. I'm going to change
Derek Brassard. That was an unbelievable trade in the aspect of he got it done. He brought that guy here. Everybody thought it was going to be good. It didn't turn out to be good. That's why they say swinging for the fences. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you strike out.
I remember I had a conversation with him. We did a sit-down interview with Rutherford over at the Lemieux Complex one day. And I said, why are you your aggressive nature?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not always been with me. But I'm now in my 70s. And quite frankly, I don't care what the results are. I used to care about them, and now I don't. I go for what I think is best for my team. If I'm willing to give up something, I just do it.
I love that.
He's been around. Some of these young GMs, I think, are apprehensive to do that because they're worried about what it looks like for their future resume.
Yes.
Rutherford had you know, he was already going to be in the Hall of Fame, so he didn't really care about what, you know, the semantics were. If it was bad, it's bad. I'll change it.
We're all 70-plus years old. I don't know how much time anybody has. We're in this thing to win it. You know, unless you're not, and then you're still in it to win it by being aggressively bad And that's where I want Kyle Dubas to get. I want the Penguins to be bad and for him to stockpile way more picks than he has right now. It sounds like a lot. Oh, my God, 15 picks in the top three rounds over the next 3 years. What a genius he is. They're going to be so good. All right, let's stop and think about that for a minute. How many of those draft picks will ever play with Sidney Crosby? It can't just be picks, number one. Number two, you got to give yourself more of a chance in the first round. Mm-hmm. So go out and trade Rickard Rakell. Go out and make more trades, as many as you can. And yes, tear it down to the studs. Anyway, Phil Kessel from the Maple Leafs for, among others, Kasperi Kapanen. Yeah. What a trade was.
One of the best trades that had a lot to do with where they ended up with two cups, and Phil had a lot to do with it.
Jim Rutherford.
HBK line.
Yes, the whole HBK line was trades. Rutherford was an absolute genius here, Bob.
He was. Any more trades? All hockey, or are we going into other ones?
The other one's Paul Coffey from the Edmonton Oilers.
Coffey was, that was a great trade. I love that trade. What he meant to them.
Well, he meant that they were actually going to be serious about trying to win mm-hmm. when you make that move, you know? And then number four is Bill Madlock from the Giants.
That's a good one on the list. I like that. You got a four-time batting champ. He had a lot to do with their 79 World Series. Bat him sixth in the lineup. Guy's going to hit 330 every year. That was terrific. Didn't you agree?
Yes, I don't think they win the 79 series without him. Are you kidding me? A multiple-time batting champion, and he would win two more with the Pirates. Yeah.
So they got the bang out of their buck.
Number three all-time Pittsburgh trade from Ron Cook. Tom Barrasso from the Sabres in 1988 for Doug Bodger and Darren Shannon. Made by Tony Esposito, I might add, Bob. What do you remember about that?
Wasn't Roger Bellanger, was he involved in a trade too?
I don't know.
I remember him. I don't know either. But yeah, you get a goaltender of that quality who won Rookie of the Year and then was, you know, on that team. People talk about numbers, and I look at Tom Barrasso's numbers and say, well, they weren't all that impressive. What he meant for that team, he made big saves at big times. You know, it didn't necessarily reflect itself because they were playing a style of hockey that was totally different. Up and down, and Barrasso had to make saves that kept plays alive and led to counter attacks the other way. So,
number two, Jerome Bettis from the Rams.
That would be one of my best ones. I agree that it's high on his list.
For a second and fourth round pick on draft day in 96, Bob. What an unbelievable trade
didn't
that
he have,
was.
Didn't he have a great year in L.A. Before that?
He had won, but then they didn't use him the way he wanted to be used.
It was a coaching difference.
Tom Donahoe pulled off that deal.
Yeah, that was a great trade.
Do you know who the Rams coach was that misjudged Jerome Bettis?
John Robinson.
Rich Brooks. Man, okay. John Robinson, I think, would have run the wheels off the old bus.
Yeah, probably.
So, the number one trade I think we all know of all time in Pittsburgh sports, according to Ron Cook, and I would agree with this, and I don't know if you do, Bob, is Ronnie Francis, Ulf Samuelsson from the Whalers at the deadline in 91.
Johnny Cullen.
Jeff Parker and Zarly Zalapsky.
Zarly has passed away, which I was surprised. You know, I used to like Zarly Zalapsky an awful lot. I thought he was going to be something special back there on that blue line. And he had his moments. I'm surprised he didn't put any Pirate trades in there beyond Madlock, because I thought getting Doug Drabek in a trade, who turned out to be a 20-game winner.
Yeah, why didn't he put that in here, Bob?
You have to refresh my memory what they gave up to get him. And another one, and this results in no significance in any way, but Brian Giles was acquired here for I forget who. But, man, Brian Giles put on a four-year run here that could have been Shohei Ohtani-like in terms of numbers.
What Drabek trade has to be in here.
And what about the Peña trade? They get you Andy Van Slyke, Mike Dunn, and Mike LaValliere.
Didn't they trade for Chuck Tanner?
Yes, they did. That was Manny Sanguian, wasn't it?
What about that?
But what about Drabek? What was the... Because I remember they acquired
Limits,
him.
Can you look that up?
He turned out to be a 20-game winner.
1987, they got Drabek from the Yankees. Maybe it wasn't a trade, Bob. I don't remember now.
I think it was a trade.
Where were you when the Ulfie trade happened? Were you happy?
Yes, I don't remember where I was, but I do. Yes, I like that trade.
You were just a young little pump then, weren't you?
It's funny how when you're a fan of a player and he does the same work that you hate him for with another team, you like it here.
Yeah.
Darius Kasparaitis was always my favorite from that regard. He used to torture Mario Lemieux when he was with the Islanders.
Right.
And then he comes here and everybody loves him for doing the same thing to other teams' players. But anyway, what do you have anything on Drabek?
It was Drabek with Brian Fisher and Logan Easley to the Pirates for Rick Roden, Cecilio Guante, and Pat Hawaii. Clemens.
How is that not one of Ron's top 10 trades, Bob? He's got
winner.
Joey Mullen ahead of that?
Yeah, I like. How about Brian Giles? Can you do me the favor, too, on that one? Because my computer's not working.
Can you text Ron and see if he'll come on and defend this, Bob?
No, you can do that.
You can do
it's
that.
It's your idea, not mine. Brian Giles, I'm serious, Joe. If you look at his numbers one here.
Now he's some of the greatest numbers in Pirates
history.
Yeah,
what did they give up for him?
Only Ricardo Rincon.
That's it. Part of the no-hit.
I'm sorry.
Francisco Cordova.
That's
Rich
top
Parisian
five.
Cordova.
That's one of the top five trades in Pittsburgh sports history, whether it resulted in championship or not, which we know it didn't.
No.
That is an unbelievable trade. Listen to this, Bob. Are you ready to listen to this? Brian Giles has, in his short time here, some of the greatest numbers in Pirates history.
Ohtani-like.
Ohtani-like?
Yeah. What's his OPS? Compare his OPS.
I don't have that in front of me, Bob.
All right, then look.
Here's some of the things. And people, you know, were curious. I'll put it that way. If he was chemically enhanced.
I don't care about that anymore.
I don't care about it either.
Everyone's enhanced in some way. Geez, you look at television today.
Watch your mouth,
Bob. It's all you see is enhancement.
What kind of television are you watching?
All you had to do is watch the Grammys to know what I was talking about.
He's got the number one OPS in Pirates history, on base plus slugging. Brian Giles has the number one slugging percentage in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates at .591. The list goes Giles.
That's my point.
Giles followed by Kiner, Stargell, Bay. Jason Bay is fifth on that list. Keke Kyler, Ron covered him. Dick Stewart, Barry Bonds, Dave Parker.
All right, now look at his seasons and look at his OPS versus Ohtani and tell me if it's that much different.
It probably isn't. I mean, for his tenure here, it was over 1,000. How about that? Huh?
So that, to me, was one of the best trades ever made.
Now I'm thinking that Ron, like his Hall of Fame ballot, didn't include Giles on this because he thought he was on steroids. Do you think that was the case?
It could have been. And he might have been. And again, I don't care. He's allowed to play. The league saw nothing wrong with his participation. So there it is.
I agree.
So comparing these 7 years that Ohtani's been in all baseball, 7, 8 years, plus Brian Giles, Giles has more hits. Ohtani has more home runs. Giles has more RBIs, a better batting average, a better on-base percentage, and a better OPS.
See?
995
OPS. I told
OPS.
You, if he were playing today, he'd be $250 million to $400 million.
Is Brian Giles the most forgotten great athlete in this town's history,
yes.
In its modern history?
Yes.
Do we think that because people suspected him of something? Is that why it's just or because the Pirates stunk? Is that why it's washed away to history, Bob?
Yeah, if you don't win. But again,
would you like the all-time list of Pirate home runs? Brian Giles was here for 10 minutes. Here's their all-time list of home run leaders. You ready?
Yep.
Willie Stargell, Ralph Kiner, Roberto Clemente, Andrew McCutchen, Barry Bonds, Dave Parker, and Brian Giles. Brian Giles had one fewer home run than Dave Blanken Parker as a Pirate. How do you like that, Bob?
And he was, how many years was he here?
How many years was he here, Limits? I'll answer that question.
Couldn't have been
Bob.
That many.
Parts of five.
Yeah.
Four full seasons.
He's number 10 on that list in 4 seasons.
In 4-plus seasons, yeah.
His bat was as good as any. And that trade to me.
It's incredible.
I had forgotten about it, but I remember he was acquired. And I couldn't remember what for. But now that you say Ricardo Rincon and that's it, man, what a fleece job that was.
You need to tell Ron that he needs to get that on his list, Bob.
Why do I have to be the messenger?
I think he's angry at me. Although, actually, you could be that, Limits. But we also don't want to jeopardize. Limits has a nice relationship budding with Ron. Did you hear about this?
No.
Ron and I text back and forth sometimes. Like when I was in Florida, I texted Ron and he responded pretty quickly.
How about that, Bob?
Wow. Did he offer you a beer? Free and free light?
No.
Available on his balcony in Fort Myers?
He offered the sunshine.
I have
nice.
A quiz for you guys. You ready for this, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Who's the all-time leading Pirate career batting average? Wrong.
We're just waiting. He asks these questions, and off the top of my head, he's staring at a computer, which mine doesn't work right now. I got to figure out the all-time pirate
career batting average. 360 for this man.
Wow.
Limits, do you have a guess?
Well, wrong. I'm going to guess that Hannes Wadner never hit around 360, so it's got to be somebody from the 1800s.
Yeah. Ron covered this guy in his rookie year, Bob. Jake Stensel.
Stensel?
Yep.
Never heard of him.
Do you know who the all-time leader in games played for the Pirates is?
Jake's brother. no, I don't know.
Paul Stensel.
Paul Stensel. I never knew this. Did you guys both know that Clemente and Hannes Wagner had the same amount of games played?
No.
2,433?
To the exact number.
That's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Those two are the tops in history. Do you know who has the
Jake
greatest?
Jake Stensel.
Yeah.
Never heard that name.
Do you know who has the most runs scored in the history of the Pirates, Bob?
Hannes Wagner.
Wrong. Yes, you're right, actually. 1521 for Hannes Wagner. Do you know who has the most doubles in Pirates history? Either of you? Limits, why don't you go first?
I'm going to say
wrong.
Come on.
No.
I'm going to say Kiner.
No.
Rennie Stennett.
Paul Wehner.
Paul Wehner. No relation to John. How about stolen bases, Bob? Got a guess there? I was impressed that you got Hannes Wagner.
Stolen bases. That's a hard one.
688 steals for this guy, believe it or don't.
I don't know.
Arky Vaughn.
Arky Vaughn. Max Carey with 688.
Never would have gotten that.
Would you like any more, Bob?
No, not really. I find this quiz show a little bit too much for me to handle.
I thought Arky Vaughn was a good guess. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. It was a great guess. Here's one that you should get. The most home runs per at-bat.
Willie Stargell.
Wrong. He had a homer every 13 at-bats.
Ralph Kiner.
He said that confidently, and he's right, Bob. You were wrong.
That was my previous guess. But
just to be clear, you were wrong.
I was.
Anything else, Bob? How about caught stealings?
Caught stealings. Frank Tavares.
Wrong. I don't know. Limits? Wrong.
Arky Vaughn?
No. He was six.
When in doubt, go to Arky Vaughn.
He was six with 75.
Omar Moreno.
Yeah, 137. Here's a great one, and I'll end on this, and I'm sorry I ever went into this. Most hit by pitches in Pirate history. You should know this, Bob.
Well, Ron Hunt doesn't play here. Most hit by pitches. I should know this.
Ron Hunt? Who?
He used to play for... He was second base for somebody. He led the league in most times hit.
This guy is the leader by a mile. He played. You covered him. You should remember this, Bob.
Orlando Merced. I don't know.
What?
I mean, you're killing me with this. You're going back in time to remember how many times a guy got hit.
Henry Davis.
Tim Foley.
Henry Davis. He gets hit all the time.
Tim Foley.
Jason Kendall was the master of this at 177.
Okay.
And then Marte got hit every time he came to the plate.
That's right. Marte would have been a good
He either got hit or he swung at a slider 8 feet outside the strike zone. He got hit 111 times. And then Jake Beckley at 100.
Oh, poor Jake. Third on the list. He sacrificed whatever he had for his body for the team.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Bob. The all-time leader in sacrifice hits for the Pirates is who?
Jason Thompson.
No. Was there a guy named Ginger Beaumont? Do you remember him?
Jimmy Beaumont's brother in the Skyliners. Did he do? I don't know.
Clint Barmas.
Max Carey at 257.
Wow, Max is on a lot of these records.
Yeah. He carried the team, you might say. Bob, I can't take this anymore, and I'm sorry I did this. Stop. I can't do this, Bob.
What?
Everything.
I think it was interesting. We went down memory lane, come up with some big trades that Ron did not include in his list, and...
Brian Giles.
Drabek and Giles are two of my. I don't remember.
Why did
the specifics,
Ron go for so many hockey trades?
Because it was did he like the Carlson trade, by the way, in that article? Did he think that
was a good trade? Yeah, everybody did, didn't we? I thought we all did.
Well, I don't know about that.
You liked it.
I liked it, but I had my reservation was they're doubling down on something they already have, which is Chris Letang. They needed more defensive. I remember that was my only concern. And then Ryan Graves came along, and he was not going to be that answer.
Yeah.
So that was my only thing.
Mike Granlund has now gone on to great heights, Bob. We all made fun of him when he came here. Yep. Remember?
Yeah, he's done well out there in Anaheim.
And now he got traded. San Jose, you mean?
Or
and
San
then
Jose,
he got traded,
yeah.
Yes. I wondered at the time, the headline on my column, the day trade was the Mike Sullivan, Eric Carlson, be fun to follow. I had a feeling, Bob, because the Penguins, the headline on the Penguins media clips that day was, quote, Penguins Mike Sullivan beaming about Eric Carlson.
He was
trade.
Beaming.
And I put in the paragraph after that, I'm sure he is, but it's August 9th. My question is whether Sullivan will be beaming or steaming as he watches Carlson take off on another freelance mission on February 9th.
You were absolutely right.
It was going to be, I knew it was going to be a not an easy marriage. You already have two of the greatest risk takers, and I mean that in
That's
good and bad ways, in Letang and Malkin.
Right.
You're bringing in a third guy.
A third
it's a wonder
guy.
Sully hasn't been committed.
But again, it's about the style of play that you prefer to play, and you still think he has it, but the deficiencies are there. Couple that with the deficiencies of those other two guys you mentioned, you have a lot of odd man breaks, and that's what we've seen here for the last several years.
I pointed out that his middle name is Gunner, Eric Carlson, and that we'll be calling him Erisk Carlson by the middle of his Penguins tenure. Do you like that, Bob?
That's a pretty good foresight on your part. Yes.
Thank you. We'll wrap it up next.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. We're talking about this trade. God bless me, Bob. And how Dallas seemingly was down on Luka's conditioning and eating habits. Does Jokic strike you as a guy who looks like, you know, the premier athlete in the world, like he could go out and win an Olympic event? Now, he actually can run up and down the court forever. But I'm sorry, when guys are that great, whether it's Luka, Jokic, I'm trying to think of other examples.
Mickey Lolich, do you remember him?
Mario from his prime with the Penguins.
Mickey Lolich looked like he'd never be able to throw the ball the way he did.
You don't care. You just let them do what they do.
Yep. Jokic is just one of those guys. Again, he plays at his speed. Mm-hmm. He can make it faster or slower, and he knows he's one of the best visions of anyone in the NBA right now. So, but he's a big dude who does not look like he would be your typical athlete that you would expect.
Where do you think the Penguins go from here?
Two weeks off. They have a game with the Devils, 2 weeks off, and then they I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to continue to make trades. I just wonder what they're going to get in return. They also have some good young goaltending depth. At least it looks that way. So at some point, they have to figure out Tristan Jarry. You know, if it means buyout, buyout. If not, then at some point he has to return here and play. And do you trust him that he could be the, what he once was? I'm surprised it's gotten this bad, though. I thought he'd be able to do better, and he hasn't.
What a disastrous signing. I think Raquel has to be the guy.
If I brought him up to play again and he played well, I would be doing it only so that I could increase his trade value, that someone would have thought, okay, maybe they figured him out. We'll trade for him now. But that's probably a long shot.
Bob, what did you learn in today's show?
What did I learn? I learned that there have been a lot of trades in Pittsburgh history, and Ron didn't put some of the Pirate trades in the list that I thought should have been in there. I just, off the top of my head, I remember those players that they got, and surprisingly, they weren't. There weren't that many football trades. Bettis is the only one that really comes to life. They haven't made that many player-for-player deals or player-for-draft-pick deals. Although I would say Minka Fitzpatrick is one that should have, we didn't talk about that, but that was one they made that went way out of character.
Right. That's exactly right.
You look
right.
Like you're in a trance over there. What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm looking at a Booger McFarland take I was going to bring up to you, but maybe I won't do that, Bob.
On what?
Nothing. Are you in tomorrow?
No, you know when I'm in. No.
No, I don't know when you're in. When are you in? Wednesday and Thursday this week, yes. And then there's the Donnie Football Friday. So how about Wednesday we take a much closer look at the Super Bowl? Would you like to do that?
Yes, and all the prop bets are some interesting prop bets. Would you bet a lot of money that Travis Kelce would propose to Taylor Swift on the field after the game?
Would you, Limits?
No.
We have to go, Bob. Good night.
That's a way, boy, you talk about a quick exit. That's more than an Irish exit. That's a get out of town exit. Good night, Joe. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Bye, Limits.
Bye, Austin.
Bye.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.